You are back with The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. This morning, we reached out across the continent to talk to Dr. Sheldon Ricklin. He's one of two Marshallese doctors serving the Pacific Island community, and he talked with us about the growing number of positive COVID cases among Arkansas's Marshallese citizens. 30 fatalities so far in the Marshallese community of between 8,000 to 12,000. That is in contrast to our 19 fatal cases statewide in Hawaii with our population of more than a million people. Dr. Ricklin is a graduate of the John A. Burns School of Medicine at the University of Hawaii.
I had worked actually at Jeffson for a while before I got recruited to come to Arkansas, and I've been here for the last 4 years since actually 4 years ago, July of 2016.
Wow, so happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I hope you had a quiet fourth, a restful fourth.
It was restful, not too quiet, but you know, I got a chance to spend time with my granddaughter, you know, doing some fireworks.
I've been reading about the numbers of COVID cases among Marshallese in Arkansas. It's really disproportionate.
Our active cases as of a week ago or so exceeded 500, and our deaths actually, you know, I think, you know, for the last few days has exceeded probably 30 at this point. There's definitely a lot of risk factors about the Marshallese here in Northwest Arkansas. You know, for one, you know, we are considered essential workers for many of our community members, you know, whether it's at the poultry plant, at Walmart, at the airport, or at the nursing homes, you know. So, you know, they have to go to work because, you know, they're considered essential workers. In addition to that, we definitely have, you know, many of the risk factors when you look at chronic conditions, whether it's diabetes, hypertension, any kind of asthma problems, and all those kind of things. And, you know, we definitely have, you know, our elderly who are, you know, part of the multi-generational households in the households as well, too. So there's a lot of factors that have come into play. And, you know, and we, for the most part, we've been able to, you know, try to do social distancing guidelines. And, you know, I think, you know, for many of us, you know, that's been successful in the community. But, you know, of course, there are a few others who have not been able to kind of follow the same guidelines as we have.
I know of the Memorial Day holiday, there was drive-through testing. There were giveaways of food baskets and also the forms for the census passed out. It's just a way to be able to reach out to the community over there on these really important issues.
Absolutely. And, you know, we started early. You know, we actually have a Marshallese COVID-19 task force that was actually formed either end of March or early April. You know, we saw this coming. We saw that, you know, COVID-19 was going to be a challenge for us, and especially our community members. So we had formed this Marshallese COVID-19 task force, which includes the leadership and our consul general from our my consulate office here in Springdale, along with, you know, several representatives from our nonprofit organizations, whether it's from Arkansas Coalition of Marshallese, the Marshallese Educational Initiative, several of our Marshallese liaisons who work at the school systems, some of our, you know, medical assistants, myself from the UMS campus. And now we also, you know, we do weekly meetings that includes also reports from the three major medical centers, along with our FQAC that sees many of our Marshallese population here. So, you know, some of those initiatives that we've, you know, taken on includes those things that we just mentioned in terms of, you know, face mask and, you know, cloth, face mask drives, making sure, you know, it was in the middle of census, you know, initiative as well, too. We're also addressing some of the food insecurity needs in terms of, you know, delivering foods to those who are COVID-positive households, so they don't have to go outside the home. We've been working diligently along with the Arkansas Department of Health as well and trying to kind of address their needs as well as we're trying to reach the community.
I read also that there was a radio station there in Arkansas that was started a few years ago. You know, how has that been used to kind of educate the community?
Yeah, the radio station has been a big asset for us. And, you know, when I first moved here 4 years ago, I saw that. And, you know, about a year into it, you know, I have a Marshallese health radio program that I do on a monthly basis that has been in the existence for the last 3 years, talking about chronic conditions and health and messaging and preventive medicine, all in Marshallese, and the Marshallese radio stations, you know, plays Marshallese music, plays Marshallese PSAs, and that includes that, you know, health messaging as well. And since the start of this pandemic, and actually beginning of April, you know, I kind of change gears and just kind of try to address mainly, you know, COVID-19 and talk about some of the signs and symptoms and, you know, with pregnancy and with diabetes and asthma and some of the guidelines when it comes with church guidelines or funeral guidelines, and try to kind of get the message out there. And, you know, I, besides myself, I know at least the Department of Health has also used the radio station. The nonprofits, as well as the consulate office, has also utilized them. And I think, you know, it's definitely a big asset for the community here, because not everybody has internet connection, but they definitely have the radio connection that they can listen to.
It's such a valuable tool during this time.
Absolutely, yes.
I've seen some things, you know, on the internet, members of the community, you know, having Zoom discussions. But yeah, to be able to have that FM station to be able to connect people in that way, wow! I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, and you know, we, you know, utilize it almost the same way that we use it back home, where we would do our public service announcements and service, you know, for funeral services or any kind of fundraising efforts or any kind of drives that we do for the task force members and all that, and, you know, including the census, and the school system uses it as well as the Department of Health as well too. So it's been great.
Now, being here in Honolulu, I've been reading about the outbreak of the COVID cases, not just amongst the Arkansas community, but I think also in Spokane, Washington, where there is a growing community as well.
They had reached out to me to, you know, given that they're dealing with the same kind of similar issues over in Spokane as we are here in Northwest Arkansas. And I've been speaking with their community leaders and the Marshallese employees that work for the Department of Health, and actually with the Department of Health team as well, where, you know, I've, you know, done some videos for them speaking in Marshallese that they've been able to kind of play on that side. And definitely, you know, we're all on the same boat. So, you know, it takes a village and several villages to kind of handle this, and just kind of how we're trying to kind of do that.
Are the Marshallese people working in plants in Spokane like they are in Arkansas?
You know, that's a great question. And, you know, I have never visited them yet over there, but I do know that there are some who actually work at some of the factories. And I don't think it's poultry factory, but I think it's more meat, and some of it has to do with, like, macaroni and things like that.
In Arkansas, I know there was an effort to test the workers at the Tyson Chicken plant just to kind of get a sense as to the community spread.
Yeah, and, you know, and that was one of the push that, you know, the task force has been, you know, asking for since the onset. You know, we knew that, you know, we needed to get testing out there and test the Marshallese community, knowing their risk factors. And initially, we had, you know, worked with the Department of Health and with UAMS and one of the medical centers and one of the community health centers as well. And they've gone out to the Marshallese neighbors and done testing in the beginning. I think it was in early April. And, you know, we've done the same kind of push with the poultry plants, meat processing plants. And of all the plants here, Tyson, you know, was able to kind of test their team members or their employees. And, you know, at least that kind of went through it. You know, we were able to identify many of the cases, and that kind of helps with contact tracing and try to kind of mitigate, you know, where we need to kind of focus our efforts. Unfortunately, the other plants have not followed suit in that aspect of it, but, you know, we still continue to kind of make that recommendation.
Are there many Marshallese working in those other plants?
Definitely. You know, besides Tyson, there's George's plant, and there's Cargill and Butterball and other poultry meat processing plants as well, yes. But I think Tyson probably has the most Marshallese employees compared to the other ones.
Is there anything else that concerns you just as you watch this virus?
Besides all the risk factors we just spoke about the members and the community members and how it's affecting us. You know, I think this pandemic has definitely magnified many of the same issues and the same challenges, you know, that we've always tried to address from the beginning, whether it's in language translation services or interpretation. And a big one definitely is, you know, access to healthcare for many of our Marshallese and other COFA citizens in Northwest Arkansas. I think, you know, we're definitely fortunate here because, you know, we have a FQAC and community clinic that kind of works like in Honolulu, like KK. Davey or, you know, Kali Plum. I said, you know, many people are able to access that way, you know, with, you know, sliding scale services. But, you know, I think, you know, just not having that access to federal Medicaid program just kind of highlights that, you know, many of them needed to have better management of their many medical conditions. So FQAC is the federally qualified health centers, and that's, you know, that's like community clinics, and that's like, you know, places like KKVA and Kali Plama where they address the needs of those who are in need, especially, and they're federally funded program.
Right, because otherwise they would have no health care.
That is correct. You know, regardless of what people hear, whether it's online, in the social media, or in the news, that everybody needs to do their part. They need to follow the social distancing guidelines. They need to wear their face mask. They need to do their frequent hand washing. You know, stay home if they have no reason to leave the house. You know, if it's not for yourself, then it's basically for the person next to you, especially our elderly and our kids. And, you know, our culture is about the family, and our culture should be anything that we do, whether it seems like it's not our culture, it really is. It is taking care of our own family.
And has quarantine and isolation been an issue? Because, you know, many of our Pacific Island cultures have extended families. I don't know if they have, let's say, an extra room or another place to go to.
Yeah, that's been a challenge for us as well, you know, in trying to, you know, making sure that your people stay quarantined, and if somebody is positive and there's more than one, you know, workers in the household, and there's more than one family in the household. So definitely, you know, those challenges, you know, come up. And, you know, we try to, you know, work with the Department of Health in trying to address those. I know in the beginning, before the starting of opening of the state, Department of Health has been, you know, able to put some of the positive cases in some of the hotel rooms, and they've been monitoring them on a regular basis. I think it's getting a little bit more difficult now as, you know, things are opening up and the hotels are looking for more commercial or, you know, other people who want to, you know, utilize their rooms. And the Department of Health actually has other facilities. You know, I know there's a facility that's about at the capital city in Little Rock that they also try to take families if they need to be on isolation, but they provide for all their needs, including transportation there and back, and food and drinks, and for the whole time period before they take him back to their households. But I think it's still a challenge for us, and we continue to work with them and trying to kind of figure out ways to address that better.
And are there any other communities that you're aware of where there are large Marshallese populations?
Yeah, and we're all over, you know. You know, besides Northwest Arkansas, you know, we also have, you know, certain pockets in, you know, throughout the state. But, you know, we have large Marshallese community in Enid, Oklahoma, in Indiana as well, in certain parts of Texas, in California, and in Oregon. And, you know, we have, you know, at least one Marshallese or Marshallese family in a state, you know, in all 50 states. But the large pockets of populations are in Washington, Oregon, California. Arkansas, I think, probably has the most, but also with Oklahoma and nearby Missouri as well.
Yes, and I also understand there are some in Hilo, the other physician.
Yeah, Dr. Wilfred Alec, you know, actually, you know, he lives in Hilo, and, you know, I'm jealous because, you know, that's where I got my undergrad. You know, that's where I went to undergraduate at UH Hilo, and, you know, that's where I'm going to be in biology. But he definitely is there. We also have a large Marshallese population, not just in Hilo, but on the Kailua Kona side as well. But, you know, he's practicing out of the Kaiser Clinic in Hilo. The folks in Kona side definitely are doing more the coffee part of it. But, you know, the ones in Hilo side are more the families, and they've been there longer, I believe. And they work in different parts, including, like, Walmart and the stores and stuff. It's unfortunate with this pandemic because I think many of us really were pushing for the census 2020, and I think we definitely were much more active this year than previous censuses. And, you know, I think we were doing good and, you know, at least trying to get people to get counted, but This definitely has, you know, thrown a wrench into the whole thing. So, you know, we're finding it more challenging than it was before.
That was Dr. Sheldon Ricklin, a Marshallese doctor working in the health services program at the University of Arkansas and also in a community clinic in Springdale.